Friday.
Eat on Friday. Yummy. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Weekly Dish. Thanks for tuning into the second hour. I'm Stephanie March. I'm here with Meredith Eads today.
Yes. Hello.
How are you today?
Good morning. Excellent.
We are doing well. We are having a good time.
Yes.
Guess what time it is? It's time for Top 2 and Hour 2.
Woo.
Give him the 0-1-2. 1-2-1-2.
And now, The Weekly Dish presents...
Top 2. Top 2.
The Top 2.
Pick your best 2.
In Hour 2.
All right. Give me 2.
All right, this is the time of the show, you guys, when we talk about two things that we are either loving this week or we're excited for, sort of anything that's kind of catching our mind. So, Mary, you want to start?
Yes, I am happy to start. Okay, so I know that you've talked about this restaurant a little bit before, maybe even a lot, but I'm going to talk about it again because I discovered something that they have that is so good.
Oh, what do you got?
Okay, Lynn Hall. Lynn Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a good news story in our restaurant scene.
It is.
But I went in there the other day and got a breakfast pastry, two actually, that blew my mind. One was a cheddar honey.
Yes.
See, you know these.
Yes, I know these.
And I thought that was really good. Boy, there
was it a scone or was it a...
No, it was a roll, like a cinnamon roll, only with cheddar cheese in there.
Yeah.
And honey drizzled over it. And I know it sounds weird, but if you enjoy that salty sweet thing like I do, and I do, that is a winner. And then they had another one that was so good, and it was a breakfast one, and it had potatoes and onion jam and bacon.
Oh, yes.
And it was really
their
good.
Their bakery game is super strong.
It is.
Katie Elsing is their baker, and she is a very undersung hero in town. In fact, they had just opened. We'd done our bakery issue, and they had just opened, so I got some of their stuff in. But I was like, this is going to be one of the powerhouses.
It is. It's really good. So those two breakfast things, oh my gosh, I savored that little potato bacon onion jam one, every bite of it.
You
it
were like, so oh, this
I know.
Is mine.
I don't want it to end.
I love it. All right. Well, my first thing is going to be something that's actually happening next weekend, which is Corn Days, Corn Days is my little Long Lake Community Festival that's been going on since I was a kid.
Corn Days.
At St. George's Church. And I think it's got to be like 30 years now it's been going on or more. And every summer when I was a kid, my mom lives literally blocks from the church. And it has this huge lot, and then they make, you know, there's like a carnival, and they've got booths, and they've got, you know, of course, like you, it used to be where you could pay $1.50 and you could have all the corn you could eat.
Wow. So do
I think it's more like $10 now, but that was like way back in the day. And like, I would ride my bike up to the church on the Friday night before the festival, and I would help them shuck the corn. So they'd give me like a free stamp so that I could have all the corn I wanted.
Oh, wow.
I know. It was like, I worked booths. It became like my summer thing. You know, it's always the second weekend in August. And it was like literally one of those things where it was like the first time you would see people. This was before, of course, Instagram and everything else.
Right.
You would be like, you'd like walk up and you'd be like, oh my God, school's almost starting. And look at her. Oh my God.
Is she going to wear that?
Is she going to wear that? And like, Bobby is so cute. My sister was a corn princess. But literally there was a corn. Yep. There was like a corn coronation.
Wow.
I know. It's great. So Corn Days is happening. St. George's Church, Long Lake, the 12th and the 13th. There is a candy throwing parade on the 13th. That's also significant. And I will tell you that Barbara Lyons, our Instant Pot maven, who kind of shepherds our site, she will be working the brat booth. So definitely go and check them out and say, hey, Barbara.
Can you buy are there corn fritters or corn?
No, it's mostly roast corn.
Okay.
It's mostly like but it's like you can get a stamp and get all you can eat corn.
Okay.
You still can do that. I think it's just $10 instead of $1.50 now. But there's beer, there's brats, there's mini donuts. There's your basic festival fun stuff. Yeah.
Sure.
So that's my first one. Okay. What's your second one?
Excellent. Okay. Well, you know what? So corn's in season. That's a great thing.
Yep.
You know, fresh figs are coming back in season a little
bit. Are they really?
Yeah. So we have a June like season for them and then kind of an August season.
Yeah.
They come in a couple of waves, and I saw them in the grocery store the other day, and I was just thinking, this is the best thing. And I don't know if people cook with them as much or eat them even as much as they should. And so I wanted to just give a little shout out.
Shout out to figs.
Exactly. I mean, just wrap some prosciutto around.
People don't know. I would say that if we took a poll of everybody right now, people, I think they would see figs and go like, oh, I like figs. I just don't know what to do with them.
I don't know what to do with them. And they're just so good in salads.
Yep.
And on flatbreads and, like I said, just wrapping.
So buy them, slice them, and just eat them.
Yes,
and absolutely. Wrap them in prosciutto.
Yeah, or eat them with a blue cheese.
That's what I like for.
Yeah. Oh,
but I
my
like when
gosh.
Someone else does it for me.
It is a good thing.
Yeah.
So go in there and, because I'm from Southern California in a town that had tons of avocados and figs.
Yeah.
I grew up around those orchards.
That's jealousy.
Oh, I know. My grandma had a friend that had an orchard. She'd just give us a ton when the season was in, and it is really good. So if you haven't tried a fresh fig, go get one.
Yeah, get one. Try it.
Yeah.
There's your assignment for expanding your world.
That's
today.
Right.
Just go get a fresh fig. I mean, how much are they like?
I don't know, $100 a fig.
No.
Less.
You know.
Less than that.
Like,
but you can find them
in
good grocery stores.
Yeah. Okay.
They're not grown around here. But.
All right. All right. Yeah, they're definitely not grown here.
No.
They're a tropical thing.
Yes.
Or Mediterranean. Okay. So my second one is going to be the list of State Fair beers that just came out. The list of State Fair stunt beers or specialty beers was released yesterday.
Oh, stunt beers.
Hello. I am a little excited by this. There are a lot of great beers on this list, and there are a lot of crazy things, and there's some that scare me. Not going to lie. I don't know how I feel about the adult Red Bull slushy that's going to be available at Lulu's Public House, but...
Wait a minute. The adult...
Red Bull slushy. It's going to be 8% ABV, people. That's
wow.
a lot. That's a lot. I'm most excited for, I'm going to tell you what, dill pickle beer. I know that sounds really, but a lot of people, a pickle beer, it's a good thing. Like putting pickle juice and brine in your beer is yummy.
Really?
Yes, it is a thing. And so it's an American style light, you know, beer, and it's done. It's going to be at Giggles Campfire Grill by Barley John's Brew Pub, but it's going to be like a little, it's a dry hopped with fresh dill horseradish in the beer.
Okay, so I gave you a funny look, but I will say that, you know, forever, you know, you get the cheap, like Miller's beer or Coors or Bud and you salt it?
Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
There you go.
There it is. There's also going to be a cucumber beer called the Duke of Cuke. This is also good. Lulu's Public House. It's going to be a light lager infused with cucumber and a refreshing crisp sipper to quench your thirst.
Wow.
I think that could be good too.
I just hope they're bringing back that mini donut beer.
The Liftbridge mini donut beer will never go away. That is at Ballpark Cafe for sure. And that one is killer. I love that one. One of the other ones I think is a good idea is, you know, okay, this is not a good idea for me, but this is one that may be interesting. Cotton candy bubble trouble.
Oh.
This is going to be State Fair cotton candy in a champagne flute doused with Cannon River Winery's Sparkle Edelweiss for a special smoke and mirrors effect that is effervescent, sweet, and snappy.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's a lot of sugar.
That's a lot to deal with right there.
That's a lot of sugar right there.
Yeah.
That one is going to go straight to my left eye and then right into my brain. That's how I feel about that. But there's a lot of great ones, you guys. There's also going to be like a grapefruit ode IPA from Castle Danger.
Okay, now that does sound good.
You're going to like that. Or Lemon Sunshine, a limoncello-inspired one at Mancini's,
okay.
Which is going to be a nice lemon tart beer.
Nice.
A lingonberry lager. Is at Coasters. It's going to be lingonberry lager, medium featured sweet and tart flavors. I mean, like...
Boy, the stunt beer game
you
has...
You guys, the list is 28 long. There are 28
wow.
stunt beverages. Let's call them specialty beverages.
Yeah, because the term stunt
I know.
Beer
I don't
is controversial.
It is controversial. But they do have a couple ciders on there. There's a Sociable is doing a candy apple hard cider. And then Sweetland, of course, is doing that Minnesota Mule one I talked about, which is lime and ginger the beer.
Oh.
So good. In the cider.
That
Sorry.
Sounds terrific.
I know. I love
it. So
it's
that. Not just beer.
No, this one,
These
in
are
fact,
stunt drinks.
Well, like that cat and candy one is wine. It's
right. There sounded like there were a couple in there that were not
yeah,
beer.
Yeah, there's a few. There's a raspberry hard cider at Giggles from Sociable Cider Works. That could be great.
That could be.
And then there's like the frozen beers. Remember the frozen blueberry beer from Shells? No. I tell you what. Here's one I'm excited about that I didn't see yesterday. Sweet Corn Summer Ale. This to me makes sense, right?
That could be good.
Freshly picked sweet corn directly from, you know, Untites Vegetable Farm in Monticello. Is put a hint of sweetness and edible corn flavor brings to Fair Foods. Their descriptions are horrible. It's by Lakes and Legends Brewing. So that's, I think maybe they had that last year, now that I say that. Now that I think that they did.
I like the idea. Yeah. I want to get corn in me and well, yeah, right? I'm not going to. Anyways, hello. Point is this. Yeah. When corn is in season, it's a good thing.
I will tell you that Lulu's Public House has a lot. They have a lot of different beers there. So that might be a really big, you know, gathering spot.
Yes.
They have a Bloody Mary beer.
It's in the West. It's in
that's
the,
in the newer part, the West End.
The West End, yep. Yes.
It's there's a Bloody Mary with a neutral malt beverage. It's going to be put into bottled and then poured into a glass mixed with another Bloody Mary mix. So it's like a beer Bloody Mary, a Bloody Mary beer and Bloody Mary. I don't know. That's going to be interesting.
Okay.
I'm excited by that. Okay, you guys, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking with a gentleman who has written a book that is just, he's got a great story. So we'll be right back. This is The Weekly Dish, brought to you by Red Cow, Red Rabbit, and El Burrito Mercado. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Weekly Dish. Thanks for joining us this Saturday. I'm Stephanie March. I am here with Meredith Deeds this weekend.
Yes.
We are having a great show.
We are.
Lots of great information. We are being joined by Mr. Christopher Lohr. Are you there, Christopher?
I'm here.
Yay.
Good morning.
Welcome
hey,
to the show. Now, you guys, Christopher has been someone that I've known for many years through the PR, through his job as a PR person. And he yep. and I have connected on so many levels with different restaurants and done, you know, he's done such great work for people, kind of letting us know what's going on in the Twin Cities. But Christopher has had a very interesting year. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's gone on?
Sure. So, well, just a long story, super short. Way back in 2002, I caught a virus that put me on a path of heart failure. I caught the flu while traveling on business. And instead of leaving my body, the flu settled into my heart and decided to attack it.
Oh.
It was treated well with just medications for several years until my heart started weakening back in 2010. I had to get a little mechanical turbine device actually attached to the outside of the heart to keep me going. And then in 2014, I was blessed to get a transplant. Wow. And I have a, so since 2014, I've had a transplanted heart. And then in January of this year, I caught another virus, which started growing E. coli in my bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
And that woke up my immune system. And my immune system decided to attack all four invaders. So it attacked the E. coli, but it also attacked my heart. That was in there. And so
goodness.
I went through what's called acute rejection, which means my heart got damaged. I was in a coma for 3 weeks. And then right now it means that I do need another heart. And so I'm back on the heart list. I'm actually living here in the University of Minnesota Hospital until I get a heart, which could be any day. It could be tonight.
It could be tonight. I know. We're going to put all of our good vibes and thoughts towards you and that there's going to be a heart for you very, very soon.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing about you, Christopher, is, and you know, it's what I love about you is your outlook on life and the way that you are such a positive human. And instead of, you know, doing this whole, like, sitting there and saying, poor me, what you did was you put yourself, you put forth something and put something in the universe that can help other people. And you wrote a cookbook while all of this was going on.
I did.
I mean, I don't know many humans who can go through this sort of trauma and then say, you know what I need to do? I need to write a cookbook.
Yeah.
But you have been a food blogger for a long time. So that's part of that's been something that's been innate for you. Tell us a little bit about this, the easy, low sodium diet plan and cookbook.
Yep. Okay. So first, before everybody hates me, yes, the body does need salt.
Yes.
So you do need, but let's listen here and be real about it. You need 500 milligrams per day, which is less than 1/8 of a teaspoon.
Yeah.
That's how much we actually just need to survive. Unfortunately, the average American right now is consuming 4,000 milligrams per day.
Wow.
And the USDA, for a totally healthy person with, like, you know, nothing going on, should only have 2,300 milligrams, which is one teaspoon. A person who has high blood pressure, is over the age of 50, is a woman, or is a person of color, should only be having 1,500 milligrams of sodium a day per the Mayo Clinic and the American Heart Association, because of the fact that, unfortunately, one in three Americans right now has hypertension,
mm-hmm.
Which leads to cardiac disease. And cardiac disease right now is the number one killer for both men and women. It's more than cancer, and this is a serious thing that we could just, if we change some simple habits, we could do. Because back in the day, we used to bake our bread in the morning and eat it that same day. Bread was never meant to live on a shelf for a week and on our in our bread basket at home for another week. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous how much salt is in there as a preservative, and that's unfortunately, the food manufacturing just was using salt in all of the foods. And so
why do you think people don't understand? Why do you think that there's like, you know, we talk about cancer and cancer causing things so much, but salt doesn't seem to get as much attention. Why do you think that is?
Because it's food. It's one of
because
our essential pillars of life that we need to deal with. And we cling to our food, you know, as much as we can. I mean, look at how many people struggle with weight issues. You know, it's really hard to correct a food behavior, especially because most people have it in their brain that salt means flavor. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly, that's not true. There's a whole other, you know, pantheon of spices out there that you could choose from. I myself love a lot of garlic and love a lot of spicier and hot peppers and things like that in my food. So it's interesting, especially since I work with chefs, is to challenge my chefs to come up with low sodium dishes for me. Mm-hmm. And so that's always a fun thing to do. And what's really cool is if you cook from scratch, you're using quality ingredients. And that's why I really like this farm to table movement we have right now, is you're using fresh, you're using organic, you're using grass fed, you're using non-GMO, you're using these healthier ingredients, which is going to translate to better body health and better physical health for the people eating it.
So now tell us about the book. Like, what is in the book that you, how did you put all these together in the book? Like, why are they in here?
Well, so what I got started with is the fact that there was no training. I got told I had to go low sodium by a cardiologist, and cardiologists are brilliant, but they don't go through nutrition training at all. And so they tell you, okay, we're going to have to restrict your salt, and they don't tell you what that means realistically to do. You don't know, how do I do that in my diet? What do I look for in my pantry? Because most people think, okay, I'll just throw away the salt shaker.
Right.
But unfortunately, salt's in everything. It's in our bottled water that we're drinking.
Yeah.
It's in my Gosling's ginger beer. You know, you guys were talking ginger beer, so I had to crack one open this morning. there's 10 milligrams in a ginger beer. So, I mean, it all adds up during the day. Luckily the ginger beer's got low sodium, so I like that. But it's in our toothpaste, it's in our supplements when we work out in the gym, unfortunately. So salt is everywhere, and it's in all of the foods that we eat. So we really need to either look for a healthier option or look for ways to swap out and do substitutes. But people don't really know how to do that. So the full first third of my cookbook is all about education and awareness on what is a low sodium diet. And I always get into, there's huge arguments out there on, you know, the benefits of pink Himalayan salt versus other salts. And yes, they do have beneficial minerals in it, but unfortunately at its core, it's still sodium chloride, which is bad for you.
Right.
So it, you know, in all things moderation. So, you know, it's that whole aspect that people just didn't know. And this all sprouted from, I had a roommate who was a truck driver, and he's used to cheeseburgers and Cokes every meal. And he was in the hospital in the bed next to me, and he was in for a quadruple bypass, and he got told he had to restrict his salt. And so he's trying to order off the menu, and he's trying to choose healthier items, and he keeps getting told no, and finally gets to oatmeal, and they're like, yes, you can have that. And he's like, fine. And he hangs up, and he just starts crying.
Yes!
And I'm like, what's going on?
I would cry.
And he goes, well, I'm going to ever be able to eat his friggin' oatmeal the rest of my life. And I'm like, no, that's not true. I go, I heard you were trying to order that pulled pork sandwich. And he goes, yeah, I really want that. And I go, you can have the pulled pork, but you can't have the cheese or the bun, because that's where all the sodium puts you over the top.
Yeah.
And I go, do you like rice? He goes, yeah, I like rice. I go, well, let's get a brown rice. Let's put your pulled pork on top of it. We'll throw in some black beans and some corn. We'll make you a bowl. And you can eat that. And so he ate it and with his iced tea, and he loved it. And he's like, dude, you have to come to my house. You have to do my shopping and my meal plans and all this. And I'm like, you know, I don't think my wife will let me, but, you know, I'll start doing this blog. And, you know, I could do that. And so I started Hacking Salt, which is my blog. And I kind of became, I was kind of a rarity. I was a male voice in a largely female sea of food bloggers. And so that was kind of a rarity. And then it was, my blog really started picking up and resonating because I was doing recipes for like my favorites. So I did low sodium buffalo wings with a ranch dipping sauce, or I found a way to do low sodium soy sauce, or
veggie chili.
Hummus and
so I was doing these dishes that I really loved, and people were it was resonating, and guys even thought that, okay, he's making recipes that I would like too. So this was a huge bonus, and apparently my blog was doing so well that I caught the eye of a publisher from the West Coast, and they called up and they go, hey, we've been following your blog and we tried out a bunch of your recipes and they're really good, by the way. And would you like to do a cookbook with us? And I'm like, first of all, I thought it was a little bit of a prank. And then I'm like, because I'm not a chef. I didn't have culinary training, but, you know, I've worked in hospitality for over 8 years with, and then I've worked in hospitality PR for about, you know, 20, but it's that whole thing. I wasn't a real chef. So I'm like, yeah, I could do it. I go, I do all the recipes for the blog. And so we came up with 100 recipes for the cookbook. And the cool thing is that, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, if you're low sodium, you got to go home and just wipe out your whole pantry and you got to do this. And I'm like, no, here's what you do. And especially because, unfortunately, most of the people who are on low sodium are on a fixed income, too.
Right.
And so I had to come up with ideas that were, you know, because I have three kids at my own home, so I'm not a short order cook. I don't cook salt heavy foods and low sodium. It all has to be low sodium, and it has to be, you know, it has to taste good enough for my 8 year old to eat the same food.
Right.
And so if it works with them, I figure, okay, this is a win and I can put it on the blog. But, you know, so I had to come up with recipes that people who weren't cooks could do it pretty easy. That's why I have a lot of slow cooker and Instapot friendly recipes that are in my cookbook.
Yeah, there's a lot of slow cooker in here, and it's a lot. There's a lot of easy things, and that is what, you know, I think is great about this, is because it is a low sodium diet plan, and it's the easy low sodium diet. And then that's the thing, is if you make something easy and delicious and simple for people, they're gonna adapt.
Yes.
Now, Christopher, we only have a few more seconds, so tell me about what is your favorite recipe in the cookbook.
I grew up on the West Coast also, like Meredith. I loved Chiappino growing up. Seafood stew. And
yes.
So my seafood stew in there, I had to make that low sodium. And so the seafood stew in there is one of my faves. So if you get my book, it's on Amazon. It's in Barnes & Noble's.
It's a lovely book.
Know,
yes.
Yeah, try it out.
It's easy, and we have it. Yeah, we have a link to it. It's on on Amazon for about $12 right now, so we're going to put a link up to that. There's also banana ice cream and banana cream pie in here, people, just telling you. This is not something to, like, worry about, so this is great. Thank you so much for being on, Christopher, and good luck. We will keep our fingers crossed for you, and we're going to check out your book, so thanks for being on.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, you guys, we'll be right back. Everybody, welcome back to Weekly Dish. We are here on the Saturday morning, just letting you know, if you guys missed any of the show, or you're feeling like you want to catch up, you want to re-catch up on some stuff that we talked about, feel free to dial us up at mytalk1071.com, and the podcast will be up after the show, so you'll be able to hear the whole first hour, and then some.
And
so,
it's worthwhile.
It's worthwhile. There's so much information.
So much.
Gotta tell you what. Okay, guess what? You are a pie judge.
Yes.
And we have Miss Mary Jane Miller on the line. Are you there, Miss Mary Jane?
Hi, girls. I'm here.
And I spent quality time together yesterday.
Oh, my God.
You get to know someone when you're eating pie.
So
much pie.
You guys understand that Brahm in Minnesota, a little town northwest, northeast, something, just north.
Yeah.
North of the metro is sort of the pie capital of the state, for sure.
They like
to think the world, but I think it's mostly... But I think they are the pie capital of Minnesota for sure.
They are.
Oh, definitely.
They are.
Yes.
And we had a good time.
So you guys judged the pie contest during Pie Day, right?
Yes. Yes, what it happens.
The one and only.
Oh, my God.
On Cherry Street.
And then they auction those pies off. And that auction, if you've never been, the auction is worth the price of admission.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Why?
Very entertaining.
So it's a small, and Mary Jane, jump in here when you want to, but it's a small town.
Yep.
And the auction benefits, I think it's called BAC. It's a program that helps with kid activities and does
a
lot of...
It's a community event. Yeah.
It's a community event. And the auctioneers are a father and son who live in, who grew up there in Brom. They know everybody. And people are buying these pies for like $200, $300. One pie
what?
Went for $650.
Wait, back up. Are these pies laced with crack cocaine? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Are they laced
That's
with
what
gold?
Makes it so fun.
Yeah, are they laced with gold?
Yeah,
I mean,
no. They're just,
and they all have a piece cut out of them.
This is the other right. thing. It's $600 for a used pie.
A used pie. Because we have to taste them if we're going to judge
That's
them.
Right.
But the point is that these people, it's just such a great community, and they're auctioning, they're buying these pies. Not necessarily because these are, you know, they think it's worth
$600 pies, right?
But because they want to participate in this and they want to give and help the
But
community.
I mean, how do you feel if your pie goes for $12 and then the next one goes for $650? Are you like, anyway?
It happens.
Does it really?
Yeah, no, nothing went for less than, oh gosh, I
like
think
30 20. Or 25 yeah. or 30, yeah.
Still.
So, yeah.
But
no,
amazing.
I get it. No, I get it. Some pies are, yeah.
So like what kind of pies? Like what would, I mean like, you know, is it like strict like banana cream pie
well,
or is it like.
There's five categories.
Okay.
There's children's and teens and cream and fruit and double crust and.
Oh, right.
Single crust and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different categories, but they have about
that
six.
That grand champion was perfect.
So who is the, okay, so tell us a little bit about, yeah, like
the
what's
grand
the competition
champion
like?
Was a tart cherry pie that was a lattice. On my Instagram account, you can see I posted a picture of judging, and in the front of the picture just happened to be the
right?
grand champion. And it is a spectacular looking pie and made
and
with lots of love. And it was
classic.
So good.
You know, we had
so
this
good.
Super innovative brisket
yes.
and pecan pie.
That's what
that was surprisingly delicious.
It
That's
was
what I want to know. Like,
good.
Are people pushing the envelope with pie? Are
a
they
little
like.
Bit. Some are. Yeah. And there's a lot of classics. And then there are some unique ones. But this pecan pie with brisket.
So, it's like a meat
smoked
pie.
Brisket. Smoked brisket.
How? And
it's
how.
Like, in the vein of a candied bacon. It was
yes.
surprisingly
oh.
delicious. Yes.
Really? So it was
yes.
still sweet. So
really right. sweet.
Oh, really? Like overly sweet,
but
meaty
not,
but sweet.
Sweet and salty, like sweet. A pecan pie is sweet. Yeah.
Right.
But brisket. So the brisket is in the pie? Was it all chopped up? Was
yes.
it like
it was shredded.
Shredded.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a hard time getting my head around this.
I know. But
you gotta taste it.
It is good.
Did it place?
No. But we were all fascinated by it. And
was that right. the only sort of strange, was that the strangest and the only one that was
that
sort
was
of
the
an
strangest.
Outlier? Yeah.
Yeah. And some that, well. We
oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. No,
that,
I
no.
think. Mary Jane.
You can say it. What
Mary
was
Jane.
It?
Can we say it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Do it.
The black pepper crust.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Lemon
no.
shaker pie.
There was a lemon yeah. pie with a black pepper crust.
Yeah, that yeah. was unique. That was different.
It
when
was.
You say unique, are you being Minnesotan and saying
yes.
it was bad?
Yeah, I'm saying. Well, you know, not if you really love black
That's
pepper.
That's interesting.
And huh. and huh. tart lemons.
So, do you
together.
Feel like any of these are going to make an appearance at the state fair? Like, is that like a thing for them? Would they be like, okay, now that
well,
I'm, you know, I'm going to take
yeah,
this to
you know
the
that,
state level?
That cherry pie baker, she was a grand champion when she was a youth, and now here she is in the adult category, and she won it again. Yeah, she certainly could sweep the fair.
She
I
could.
She's got it.
Interesting.
Yep, she at the top.
Now, you know, Mary, or what's her name? The pie lady?
Marilyn Johnson.
No, yeah. Is she at all, like, does she enter the prom?
No.
Is this only for, like, locals?
I think it's mostly locals, don't
yeah.
you think?
Yeah, you know, we had some, I heard some of the people had driven in from
Marjorie.
Quite a distance. Yeah, further north.
Okay.
But
yeah.
were they the pie makers or were they
yeah,
just there
they were
to
the pie makers?
Okay.
One of them talked about having a 45-minute drive.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys, how many pies did you sample yesterday?
We had close to 60.
You guys.
But we didn't eat 60 pies. No, they break it up.
No, I know. But they even did. A bite of 60 pies is what I'm saying. You had
know.
Like you had to have at least two bites of each one. Let's
well,
be honest.
But we didn't. But we all took categories.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So I did 18.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
that's
I did
way
15,
more manageable.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
or something
that
like
freaks
that.
Me out.
Yes.
So
right,
were you
right.
the one judge per category?
Yes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. And it really comes down to you.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. Mm-hmm. My category though, that I was the Double Crest, so I won the, you know, my I feel
what
like
was the top
grand
Double Crest.
Champion.
Oh, you're the Double Crest was the yeah. tart cherry pie.
I feel like I was a part of that process
you
with this woman.
You pulled out
yes.
the gem. Oh my God.
I recognized greatness.
What do you think is what makes a great pie? Like, what is the key element that is like a grand championship pie?
Go ahead, Mary Jane.
Oh, sure. Well, I think it's the balance. I think the crust is definitely the hardest part to get right.
Mm-hmm.
And a flaky, tender, well-flavored crust is definitely the foundation of it. And then it has to marry well with the filling. I think that cherry pie that we talked about, it really held its shape when you cut a slice out of it.
Yes.
It had a little bit of juice flowing, but it's not runny.
Mm-hmm.
It's
not too stiff because that's not good either. And so,
it's a balancing act.
And don't tell Christopher, but salt in the crust is kind of a deal. If it's not, if you can't taste a little bit of that saltiness in the crust, then it's just not, the flavor doesn't.
But I love the idea, because one of the things that bums me out the most is when you take a slice of like a fruit pie and it just becomes like, you have to like, you know, like stop it off your plate.
Well,
I want a little bit of stature to it.
And as Paul Hollywood would tell you on Great British Baking Show, it's got to have a good bake.
Oh, a good bake.
And you've
got to... saw a lot of soggy bottoms.
Yeah.
Soggy bottoms are not appropriate.
Soggy bottoms are
no.
bad. And so you do have to have,
Okay, so Brahm Pie Day, it happens every year.
Yes,
and
it was good.
And it's every August, and you guys have done this a couple years running.
We have. Yeah. Well, Mary Jane and I are partners in a few things.
Yeah.
We do Dame It together and all kinds of stuff. But Mary Jane's, she does something else.
What else do you do, Mary Jane?
Something else that's happening
it's
next
all
weekend.
Garlic all the time right now.
Right, we gotta talk about Garlic Fest.
Yeah, we have the Sustainable Farming Association's annual Garlic Festival next weekend, next Saturday.
Okay, and
so
what, and that, is that still out in Hutchinson?
It is in Hutchinson, that's right. Yep, we open the doors, we throw out the first garlic bulb at 10 in the morning, and we're there until 6.
Oh, my God. This is one of those great, I mean, like, you guys have the Greatscape Cafe or whatever, and it's sort
we
of,
do.
It's sort of been, a lot of chefs have come out and done demos, and it's just, it's a really great
Thomas
event.
Thomas Bamer, they're cooking whole hogs out there.
Yeah, it's amazing how generous the chefs in our community are.
Oh, they are.
And it's all to support the local farmers that are in the SFA, the Sustainable Farming Association. You know, these chefs are cooking with this produce from these farmers every day, and they give up an entire day, not counting the prep time, to come out and spend the time. We open the cafe at 11, and we serve until we sell out, which is usually about 4. But they are slaving away back there making burgers. Bachelor Farmer is curing a ham for us as we speak. Yep.
Yeah, say who all's going to be out there this year.
Pork. Who all's going to be out there?
Yeah.
Well, we've got, we have involvement from Birchwood Cafe, Bachelor Farmer, Red Stag, Chef Shack. Lisa's going to be pattying those delicious burgers.
Mm-hmm.
And Common Roots has some food out there this year. Rosewood, a cute little restaurant in Rockford, is stepping up, and they're going to be involved. So we've got some local involvement, too.
Oh, great.
That's
okay,
great.
So what day is that? Is it the 13th or the 12th?
It is the 12th. It's Saturday.
Saturday. And you can
in Hutchinson.
Is it free to go out and then you just buy things, or do you have to buy tickets ahead of time?
It is $5 admission, but I'll tell you a little secret. If you go onto the website, the Sustainable Farming Association of Minnesota's website, you can get a buy one, get one ticket.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay, we'll put a link up to that on the show page.
So worthwhile. This is
awesome.
A great event. Everybody should go out and check it out.
Awesome. All right.
It's a blast. We have a good time.
Thanks, Mary Jane, for
being
on.
Thank you, Mary Jane.
Good luck. We'll see you next weekend at Garlic Fest, and we won't breathe on each other. All right. We'll be right back. This is The Weekly Dish, brought to you by Red Cow, Red Rabbit, and El Burrito Mercado. The dark side of the morning. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Weekly Dish. Thanks for hanging out this morning. I'm Steph March. I'm here with Meredith Eads.
Hello.
We have been brought to you by Red Cow, Red Rabbit, and El Burrito. And just to let you know, Red Rabbit tweeted me the other night. I was doing the feed. I was writing up the feed. It happens on Thursday nights, often at late.
Yes.
Usually at 2 a.m. I'm wrapping things up.
Deadlines
do happen, and I usually end up going out on Thursday, and then I come back and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to write that thing. So that happens. Well, I got to tell you what happened was Red Rabbit, I don't know if they knew I was up, but they sent me a little note saying, hey, by the way, we're doing Korean fried chicken late night. Yes. So now from Thursday through, I think Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Red Rabbit is doing, and I'm going to find the tweet all the way back here, but they basically are doing Korean fried chicken, which is something that they are, so here it is. It's Thursday through Sunday, 10 p.m. to midnight. And Chef Todd is, he super loves it. It's a Korean fried chicken. It's half a chicken, traditional or spicy, for $12.
So what makes it Korean?
It's the spice mix. You know what I mean? I think that's the deal. I think that's, I can't speak for his because I haven't eaten it. That's what I'm wondering about it. So, you know, it's got to be like a nice, hot, sweet, spicy thing.
Oh, is it have that sweetness to it?
I think so. That's how I feel.
I like the sweet and the salty.
I know, especially on a, like a bird, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, KFC, like Korean fried chicken, you know, usually it's a spicy, I'm going to say the name wrong. So it's like, just let's call it a sweet spicy sauce.
Right.
Like chili paste, ketchup, sugar, sesame seeds, lemon juice, you know, all that kind of good stuff.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. That's happening from 10 p.m. to midnight. So if you're late night snacking, get out to Red Rabbit
that's
for that sucker.
That's fun that they're doing something different at that time because there are a lot of people that want to snack at that time.
I know. And normally if you're out and about and you're kind of like, I need to snack one more thing or I could go home. And then you're like, and you go home and you're sad.
Yeah.
So don't go home,
people. Don't go home sad.
No. So let's talk about what's going on in town. This is kind of a weekend. It's like August gets to be where there's a lot of block fests and people are trying to soak up those last bits of summer.
They are.
Crayfest is happening today, which is that crayfish. We had Josh Toma on last weekend.
Yes, yes.
And so don't forget, you can still walk up and get tickets there. And there is an all-you-can-eat and all-you-can-drink option. And that's the big best option. And then there's, of course, the, you know, you can pay $20 just to get in and listen to some great bands. Chase Novation, Private Oats, those guys are all playing. Vival Knievel. I know. Viva Knievel, I think, or something. But they're all playing today, and you can just get $20 and then just go buy, you know, a la carte if you want.
Right.
Rock and Roll Farmers Market is happening. It's already been open. It's been open for an hour now, almost.
Okay.
And this is that Flashlight
Vinyl.
I think
we need to know more about that.
Yes. I know you're a little questiony on it because you're going, is it an actual farmer's market?
Is it a farmer's market or not?
It seems to me that it is an actual farmer's market because also Frank and Ernest, the guys who run the Linden Hills Farmer's Market, are involved.
Okay.
So you have a little
space. I didn't know that. That's all you needed to say.
I know. So it's happening at Flashlight Vinyl. And it's a great little record shop across from Tattersall Distillery in Northeast.
Oh, yes.
They've got a cute little parking lot. And they have got live music bumping. They've got DJs. They've got First Avenue merch and memorabilia on sale. They've got a burlesque show going on.
Okay. Of course they do. Of course.
They've got artists, but they've also got crafters. They've got vintage sellers, food trucks. I know Hot Indian is there. Makers and growers, they have a sushi pop-up. So this is an interesting thing. There's a hot sushi pop-up, or not hot sushi.
Wait.
Hot sushi. I'm sorry.
Go back.
Hot shot sushi pop-up is what it's called. But they've got Switchel. They've got hot sauce, Mademoiselle Miel, which is a chocolate maker that we love with her honey.
Yes.
Volcano Hibachi food truck. Root to Rise. Twin Cities Paella is there. So much good
things.
There's
a lot.
I know.
So you won't go home hungry. And then you can, you know, get that base going and then head over to Tattersall's.
Right.
Maybe a cocktail or two.
That's what I'm thinking. Well, and actually I will tell you this too. Du Nord Distillery, not to be undone, is hosting a giant butts and beef barbecue feed today. I love people. Butts and beef. Let's just do it.
Beefy butts.
Yes. Listen, I think they are so cool. Du Nord guys, you know, Chris Montana it's really cool. They're basically like cooking a whole bunch of barbecue on a huge grill in the parking lot. And it's free. It's a community gathering thing. They want people to come and hang out. obviously they want you to buy some cocktails in, yes. in the cocktail room. But I mean, the whole point
which
is
you
just
should
to,
do anyways.
Which I'm sorry, but yeah, I'll go eat a bunch. Yeah. I will buy a cocktail and yes. eat a bunch of barbecue.
My pleasure to do it.
And hang out with you.
Exactly.
This is a good Saturday afternoon, I'm thinking.
Could be very good.
I know.
Might be mine now.
Nicomas is there. Yeah, this is a good plan to stop over. It's like on your way home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The big thing for tomorrow, of course, is the Open Streets Northeast, which is a big, you know, Open Streets is that thing where they shut down the street. And then they, and this one is a kind of a winding one. It goes like through East Hennepin and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But you can stop in at In Cahoots, which is the big brew collaboration thing happening at Red Stag.
Oh,
have you heard
about
this?
No.
So what they do is they set up teams of breweries. So you might have Summit is paired with Insight Brewing, or you might have Dangerous Man is paired with Surly. So you have these competing breweries, but they pair them up together, and they have had to brew a special beer in collaboration with each other.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so there's...
Because they all know each other.
They are all... I don't want to say incestuous, but yes. I just did. So they are all together, and so there's seven beers. Oh, my God, we're done?
Oh,
dang
Lord.
It.
Just not enough time.
I tell you what, seven beers in Cahoots. Go see it. Thank you for being here, Meredith.
Thank you for having me.
Next weekend, we will break down some restaurant gossip and some interesting things with two chefs. I'm not going to tell you who because they haven't confirmed. But if they're listening, you better call me.
They'll
all
be
right.
Here.
Ciao, ciao, everybody.